they kind of have similar meaning. And so in order for God to exhort us, we need to exalt him. And so I want you to listen prayerfully as the choir sings, "I will exalt you." Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 24 and 25. Jackie, you can bring that thing up. There you go. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Before we read, let's pray. Father, again, we're coming to you in prayer because, again, we need you. We need you to make alive your word to us in the deepest recesses of our own soul, in our heart, in our mind. Give us a diligence right now as we commit to applying what we hear and learn to our own lives. Teach us to follow your direction. Encourage us in our spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would touch us, each one of us, at the point of our need, whether it be salvation, recommitment, or just our daily time of seeking you as we seek to serve a spiritual, powerful, omnipotent God in a fallen world. Help us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Jackie, you can bring that up, please, sir. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, don't think for a moment that this message is about making sure you're in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If the Holy Spirit can't do that, I surely can. That's not what it's about. Talking about encouragement. Jackie, you can go to the blank screen, the next one, I believe. And then we'll just have 3 points after that. We're talking about encouragement today. And we're going to tie in what the writer of Hebrews has said. You know, I was reading a devotion a couple of weeks ago, and it really spoke to my heart. It was a devotion about encouragement by Dr. John Metter. And in this little devotion, he says, encouragement is one of the most needed ministries today. This passage in Hebrews does not distinguish to whom it's speaking, and so we have to assume it's speaking to all of us. And so God is calling all of us to be encouragers. Now, in order to be an encourager, we have to be encouraged. And God starts that. God begins that ministry of encouragement as He speaks to our hearts, as He places His Word in our spirit, and as He helps us to digest what it means and what's really there. And then we need to be encouragers. And I'm just afraid that we don't encourage enough. There are a lot of ways to encourage. There is the, come on, you can do it type of encouragement. But you know, you can encourage somebody that's having a bad day just by kind of smiling at them. Now, I don't mean that stupid looking, I think I'm up to something kind of smile, but just a glance where they know you've noticed them and you're concerned with them. And the Spirit then, if you're in tune with the Spirit will lead you to say what you need to say, if you need to say anything. So, my first question to you today is, are you an encourager? Are you a person that really lifts somebody up through your words, through your actions, through your presence? You know, the truth of the matter is that out of the, 11 or 12 men, 12, out of the 12, almost all of our guys were there yesterday. Not everyone is a builder. Amen?
Amen.
Seriously. Not everyone is a builder. But you know what? I wouldn't give a nickel for any one of them to be gone. Because what they lack in ability, Walter makes up for. No, there are others that can build. There are some of us that can actually build. But what they do lack in ability, seriously, they make up for more and many times over in just encouraging presence. Amen. Just being there. And I'm going to tell you what, we built that thing, bam, bam, bam. As a matter of fact, for the first time, we got ahead of Willie's crew. Willie's always somehow gets into the putting the actual planks down for the deck. The actual work. And we normally, our process is normally we build the platform, we build the deck, we get all those things done, and then we build the rails. Me and Walter had the rails done before Willie ever never got to the end of the ramp. And you know what? I don't think anybody was thinking about anything or paying attention or trying to rush anything. We were just talking and having a good time. And folks, that's encouragement. That's all it is. For me, as your pastor, to know that I've got 10 or 12 guys that are willing to give of their own personal time and to think about others first and to go out there on a Saturday morning when there are tons of other things to do is an encouragement. So you encouraged me, and I appreciate that. But we encouraged each other. That's just one form of encouragement. I had not even didn't even have that included in my message. I kept feeling that yesterday, and so I wanted to add that. But why do we need this encouragement? Because there are so many things in the world that tear us down and beat us up. Amen? I mean, the world is trying its best, especially with believers. It's bad enough for just anybody. But for believers, the world is trying its best to press us out of existence. The devil is working overtime. We need to be there for each other. How many people have fallen and not had the courage to get up and continue to run that Christian race because of a lack of encouragement? How many times have we given up at a certain point, but because of encouragement from someone, we got back in the race? We tried one more time. You know, it wouldn't have taken a whole lot for me to ask Hannah, for let Hannah try one time. Say, okay, baby, go ahead. She'd have given right up. But come on, man. And then she saw for herself that she could. And we saw that. And so we saw a visible, tangible lesson, evidence that encouragement makes a difference. And we need it. Think back. How many times in your own life have you needed an encouraging word? You know, this passage calls everyone to be an encourager. I want to ask this question. What does that mean? Well, the word encourage that we have in the Holman version and the word exhort, if you have King James, is the same word, and it has a clear and simple meaning in the original language. It means to call out from alongside. To call out from alongside. To encourage is to shout to a fellow runner, you can do this, and I'll run with you. You see, this is the distinction with regard to the spiritual action of encouragement or exhortation. Because you see, as we call out to that person who may be struggling, we too are in the race. It's not like the football fan who sits up there with a beer in one hand and a beer gut in front of him and just screams at one team or another and tells them to go, go, go. We're in the race too. We're going through the same thing. But I want to caution you in one respect, and that is when we encourage, don't encourage as if you know everything that person's going through, because you don't. You don't. So don't insult somebody by saying, I know what you're dealing with. You don't. I used the illustration this morning. I brought this method. Y'all, I hope you don't think I do two messages on Sunday. I do the same message at the nursing home at 9 o'clock. And Buster still comes for the 11 o'clock service. I still hadn't figured that out. I figured he'd had enough of me by now. But I looked at Miss Juanita Douglas sitting right there. Senior lady in a wheelchair. And I said, Miss Juanita may go through something. I go through the exact same thing. I still don't know how she feels. Because she's different. You're different. Jamie and I can endure the same event and deal with it differently. So encouragement is not saying to someone, I know how you feel. Encouragement is saying, I am here for you. You can do it. Whatever it is, whether it's getting through the loss of a loved one, whether it's struggling with a spiritual issue, whether it's not, you've got that urge to hurt somebody at work because they just won't leave you alone, or they're ignorant, or they're whatever, in your opinion, it's not saying, go ahead and kill them and get it over with. You can do it. No, it's you can be an overcomer. you can do this and I'll run with you. When do we do this and how? These two simple verses tell us all we need to know with three elements. Three elements. Number one, we need to consider one another. It is not the Kinsey show. It is not the Willie show. It is not Miss Hannah show. It is us. We need one another. And we need to consider one another. I'm going to go back to verse 24 and look at what it says. And let us be concerned about one another. That doesn't say let us realize the existence of each other. George and Helen go home, and George says to Helen, I acknowledge that you are here. It's all you're getting from me. Not going to be much of a relationship there, is there? We don't need to just consider each other's existence. According to the scripture, it says, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Look around, and you may see fellow runners who are hurting or struggling. I want you to do this. I want everybody to look to the right. See somebody? Everybody look to the left. See somebody? The people you see could very well be the very ones God has in mind to encourage you, but also that you may have to encourage or need to encourage. And I'm going to tell you, if you look to the left or to the right and you didn't see anybody, then you just look up here. I need encouragement. I need it. And I also need to be ready to encourage you. That's what this whole thing is about. We look around and anyone we see is a potential encourager or encouragee. But let me say this to you. If you're not willing to encourage them in their time of need, don't expect a whole lot of reciprocation. Not because they may hold it against you, but because they've not seen the example. And so we need to be concerned about being encouragers. And then God will make sure that the encouragement comes our way when it comes. We need to consider what they're going through. We need to consider what they need. We need to consider then our resources, how we might be able to help them. You see, the Christian faith is a very practical thing. It's not theoretical. It's not hypothetical. It's practical. It's I can do things. And there are people who are going through real issues. Brandy Thompson's married to Jamie. She's going through issues. That's just the way it is. Willie Beard is a hog farmer, and 3/4 of the hogs in the county have PED. He's going through issues. Walter Bullard would like to retire one day. He's going through issues. Rita Munn has to outrun 10,000 deer between Highway 41 and Fayetteville every morning in the dark. She's going through issues. Life-affecting, life-threatening, life-changing issues. Shelton works for himself in a down economy. He's going through issues. Galen Stewart, well, I started to say Galen Stewart retired. Stewart's retired. Galen's never going to retire because Stewart won't let him. But I think about folks like that, and on that day that Gail does say, you know, I've had it, I'm done, that's it, we're just going to enjoy. Did we save enough money to be able to make it and be able to do okay? Those are issues. Linda's still going through a health scare. Issues. Is there anybody here that doesn't have one? Is there anyone in this room that doesn't have an issue in their life for which they need encouragement? I don't think so. But here comes the frightening question. How many have you encouraged? many have you taken the time to approach and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. We're praying that that PED threat will go away with the Hogs. Because you know what? It's not just Willie Beard's issue. Pork wholesale prices have doubled in 6 weeks. It affects you. Rain all through the winter. Now it's dry as a bone. Not dry in the fields, are they, Buster? Some of them are getting that way. Having exactly enough when we need it so that the crops will grow. That's not just for peanuts and corn. That's, we have a crop that we're supposed to be producing. That's why the Bible, to promote us to what? To good works. We need to consider one another. That leads me into the second one. We need to stir up or promote good works. And the reason I use both of those words is in King James, it says to stir up good works. In Holman and a couple others, it says to promote good works. But I want to read the verse to you one more time because I want you to have this in your brain when you're leaving here today. And let us be concerned about one another. Why? In order to promote or stir up good works. Love. And the two are interchangeable. It's not like God wants to stir up love in some of us and good works in others. The structure of the sentence is such that God's desire is to, as we look at one another, it stirs up in us agape love, selfless love, which then will lead us to good works, to serve one another, to minister to the needs of others. And we're supposed to be like Jesus. If you remember during the foot washing, Jesus wrapped himself, girded his loins, according to the King James, and then got down and began to wash the disciples' feet. Peter says, "Oh Lord, you'll never wash my feet." Did you notice what Jesus said? If I don't, then you have no part in me. Why? Because love stirs up good work. He says, I'm just trying to give you the example. An example of what? Encouragement. If I, your Lord, am willing to wash your feet, it continues, then what ought you be willing to do for one another as you are encouragers? We need to stir up those good works inside of ourselves, motivated by love. Encouragement is not a ministry that we do from time to time. It's a way of life. It affects how we look at life and who we look at as we run. So we need to stir up or promote these good works. Thirdly, we need to stay connected. Now, like I said, there are preachers all over the world who have used this passage to try to shame people into coming to church. And the fact of the matter is, you can't shame somebody into coming to church because you can't come to church in the first place. You are the church. So wherever you are is church. But that's why I kind of like the way it says it in the Holman Version. In King James, if you have King James, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Okay? In Holman, it says it this way. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings, as some habitually do. What's the purpose of those meetings? He tells us, but encouraging each other, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. We need to stay connected. You know, it just amazes me that first of all, that people feel like they're obligated. Anytime somebody's obligated, or I feel like they're obligated to give an excuse, I feel like they already know they're wrong. Don't you? If somebody does something and they start giving you excuses, you know that they already think that they've blown it or they've done something wrong. So I don't ask anybody for a reason that you're not here Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. That's between you and the Lord. That's not what this passage is about. Remember, we've said so many times, God wants you to be there. God wants you to want to be there. He wants us to have a desire. Just like tithing. I could say to you, hey, the Bible says tithe, plain and says, but give it willingly, not begrudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is he saying? He's saying it's not as important what you give as it is how you give it. With a cheerful heart. Thankful. You know, we are to give 10% of our income in appreciation for the other 90. A thanks offering back to the Lord. But God says, don't come down here and say, okay, God, there's your 10%. He said, keep your money. God doesn't need your money. And God doesn't need you to be here every time the doors are open if you don't want to be. Now you can say, but you don't understand. I have a tough schedule. I don't have to understand. God knows if our needs are legitimate. He knows if our reasons are legitimate. And God's the only one I got to please. Amen? God's the only one you have to please. So don't come to me or anybody else and make excuses. What God is saying to us here is that if you miss assembly, coming to our meetings, when do we meet? Church voted, Sunday morning, Sunday school, 10 o'clock, worship service at 11. 6 o'clock, we have discipleship training on Sunday afternoon. And 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, we have a midweek filling station. That's the way I look at it, because I need something in the middle of the week. I do. But it's not, and I don't, please don't throw stones. It's not just the word. It's the fellowship. It's the encouragement. That's what he says these meetings are for. So if you're too tired to be encouraged, that's your business. That's between you and the Lord. But we'll answer to him, not for whether we were here or not, but for our attitude. That's what I want us to understand. God says, is saying to us right here, I have led men to establish meetings of the church for encouragement. For you to get. And how many people say, well, I don't get anything when I come. They always say that about Sunday morning. You know why? Because they don't usually show up on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Because it always works. It never fails. If you come to give, you'll get more than you ever imagined. And that's by way of encouragement. And not just from one another, from the Lord himself. If God saw fit to include it in the scriptures that he wants us to be here together, then if this church says, hey, look, we need this all the time. We need to meet every day. We need to meet Monday through Saturday at 7 o'clock every night. And we need to stay together. Then we need to do that. And every one of our members should be expected to be here. Not out of obligation, but out of a desire. Now, we're not going to do that because all of God's work doesn't happen right here. And in fact, if we stayed in this building all the time, wouldn't nothing get done out there? And that's where the influence needs to be. Amen? So what are you here for? Encouragement. Why are you here this morning? Encouragement. I hope. Because again, if it's out of obligation, You gotta talk to God about that. You need to talk to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you as to what the issues are. Because God doesn't want us here out of obligation. He wants us here out of a desire to lift one another up. Because you know, this Sunday, I may be the encourager. Next Sunday, I may be the encouragee. So listen one more time. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote, there's a purpose for it, to promote love that will lead to good works. Not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do. See, he's talking about a habit. And that happens, doesn't it? You miss one Wednesday night, it's easy to miss a lot of Wednesday nights. As some habitually do. But look at this. But encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is he saying? He says there's an urgency to this. When's Jesus coming? Huh? Nobody knows? What's wrong? Can anybody give me any kind of indication with regard to time as to when Jesus is coming? I can. I can. No, I'm talking about when the time. I can give you this one thing. His coming is sooner today than it was yesterday. And tomorrow it'll be even closer. So what is he saying? Don't think that you can guess it. Don't wait till the day before he comes and then say, oh, I want to be an encourager. I want to lift one another up. I want to show them love. I want to lead them to good works. I want to do all this so that when Jesus comes a week from Thursday, he can be all pleased with me. That's why he's not telling us. Because we need to be encouragers now. Today. But it has to come from the heart. That's why it all starts with love. I want to close with a story that is so powerful, although it came from Jackie Dennis. She's put this out on her Facebook page. I love this story. The story was told, and you can read it on my Facebook page, because I've got it up there. I left it up there. The story is told of a church member who just kind of got tired or got mad or whatever, quit coming to church. 2 or 3 weeks went by and the pastor said, I need to go see this guy. And so he went to his house. Knocked on the door and the guy came to the door and opened it and said, hey pastor, how are you? Knowing in his heart and his mind why the pastor was there. Pastor says, I'm fine. I just wanted to come by and see you. And so he led him into a comfortable chair near the fire. It was, I'm assuming, in wintertime, cold weather. And so the pastor sat down in his chair, and this man that he came to visit sat down in the chair close to him. And they just sat there and kind of watched the fire. And neither one of them said anything. After a few minutes, the pastor got up and he walked over toward the fire and he reached and he got the tongs and he poked in the fire and he found a big old coal, a big old ember, glowing hot. And he reached and he grabbed that ember and he pulled it out of the fire and he laid it on the hearth in front of the fire. And he went back and sat down. Didn't say anything. Neither of them have really talked the whole visit. That ember began to dim in the fire, the fire that was in it. The smoke was less and it eventually just died and became a piece of coal. After a few minutes, the pastor said, well, I just want to stop by and see you, and so I'm going to go. And as he stood up, he went back over to the fire and he picked up that dead coal and he put it back in the middle of the fire. And within just a few seconds, that coal began to burn again. And it began to light as it was in there with all the other coal. And he walked to the door and he said, I'll see you. And the gentleman he went to see shook his hand and he said, thanks for coming, Pastor. And thanks for the fiery sermon. I'll see you in church on Sunday. What's the point? By ourselves, we go out. By ourselves, we cool off. By ourselves, there's no fire. But as we come together, we can keep each other fired up. We can keep each other encouraged. Is your life such right now that you need encouragement? That you need to be lifted up in some way or form? I'm going to ask Jackie to go to the piano. I won't give you an opportunity to do that.